Stories, fables, ghostly tales. The seamstress of the silver moon. The street forgets itself after dusk. Lamps stutter once and die, leaving only a faint smear of light from a single window. You stop there, behind the glass, a figure bent over a table, the flame of a stub candle trembling on her breath. You should keep walking, but the rhythm of her needle holds you. Through hole not tighten. A heartbeat rendered in metal. The sound slips into your body like cold water into cloth. The door gives when you push. The bell above it should ring, but the air inside swallows sound. The room smells of hot wax, oil, and something sweet that's gone sour with age. Threads drift in the air like dust. Bolts of fabric lean against the walls, their colors muted under a film of time. The seamstress doesn't turn. Her shadows are narrow, her spine a sharp ridge beneath her dress. The candlelight falls around her hands, glinting off the thin silver needles that pierce the cloth in front of her. Every stitch draws a faint whisper, as if the fabric sighs. Your eyes adjust, and you notice the mannequins. 6 of them, arranged in a crescent against the far wall. Their surfaces are uneven, textured, like something covered and recovered too many times. Each wears a half-finished garment. Their shadows crawl up the walls, thin and long, twisting slightly when the candle flickers. You step closer. The floorboards answer with small, damp clicks. The boards have been varnished again and again until they reflect the candlelight like black glass. You realize the shine is not varnish at all. It's something that once spilled and never dried. The seamstress pauses. Her head tilts just a fraction, enough to show that she knows you are there. Her hands do not stop. The thread slides through her fingers with a sound that makes your teeth ache. You can feel her rhythm inside your own pulse now. You tell yourself you are only watching, that you are still outside of her circle. But the air presses closer, as if the shop itself has taken notice. There's something in the corner, an outline that doesn't belong to fabric or mannequin. You blink, and it folds itself back into shadow. The needle stops. The seamstress lifts her head, her face still hidden, and the silence turns thick enough to touch. Then the needle moves again, and the sound resumes through or not tighten, like breath after drowning. You realize you've been holding your own. You move farther inside, careful not to break the rhythm of her work. The air feels heavier the deeper you go, thick with the smell of dust that's been warmed or cooled for years. On the shelves are jars, some filled with buttons, others with what looks like dried petals. A few are darker, their glass fogged, contents indistinct. The candle throws a slow circle of light that never quite reaches the corners. In those edges of the room, the fabric seems to shift as if a drought is breathing through it. Every time the needle pierces the cloth, you feel a tremor in your throat, as though the motion is happening inside you. The seamstress's chair creaks. Her hands are steady, the skin papery, veins like ink lines. Each movement of her wrist is precise, almost reverent. You realize she isn't sewing a dress so much as closing a wound in the world. You edge closer to the table. The fabric under her fingers isn't any color you can name. It seems to absorb the light rather than reflect it. It ripples once, and for a moment it looks wet. Your stomach tightens. The smell that you thought was wax now carries another note. Something organic. The faint bite of metal and earth. You glance at the mannequins again. Their shapes seem different, subtly rearranged. A low sound murmurs through the door, like breath pulled between floorboards. You glance down. The pattern of the wood is strange. Too regular, like ribs. The seamstress straightens suddenly, needle poised in the air. You freeze. The candle sputters. She doesn't look back, but her hands lift slowly and touches the fabric as if testing its pulse. Then the light steadies and the rhythm resumes. The silence between stitches is longer now, each pause thick and uncertain, like a heart missing beats. You think about stepping back toward the door. The idea feels slow, as if the air itself resists you. Something in the walls is listening. A thread slips from her hand and falls to the floor. You watch it coil, like smoke before it lies still. The seamstress whispers something without sound, a movement of her mouth that the room seems to understand. The mannequins tilt forward by the smallest degree. You don't see them move. You simply notice they have. The candle burns lower. Wax runs over the brass holder and pools on the table in a shape that could be mistaken for a handprint. You can feel the needle's rhythm again, steady, deliberate. Through, pull, knot, tighten. Your own pulse begins to answer it. You back away from the table. The air changes with every step, as though the room itself exhales. A faint vibration hums through the floorboards and climbs your legs. The candle's light flattens for a moment, turning everything the same sickly shade of amber. On the far wall, the window's reflection no longer matches the room. The glass shows a space larger than this one, lined with rows of mannequins stretching into dark distance. You glance over your shoulder, but behind you there are only the six. When you look back at the glass, the extra figures remain, motionless, waiting. A soft hiss breaks the stillness. The seamstress draws a length of thread through her teeth, and the second catches in your ears, like a blade drawn from its sheath. The thread seems endless. It pulls at her feet, winding toward the shelves, toward you. And you kneel to move it aside, but the floor gives slightly under your palm. The wood feels warm. A faint throb beats there, steady as the needle's rhythm. You snatch your hand back, and in the silence that follows, the workshop seems to tilt. The mannequins shift again. Their shadows fall in the wrong direction. One of them, closest to the door, leans just enough that its head tilts towards you. The surface of its neck bears small holes where pins once rested. They gleam in the candlelight like wet eyes. The seamstress lowers her work. For the first time, you see her face. The candlelight exaggerates everything. The hollows under her cheeks, the dry curve of her mouth, the faint shimmer of sweat on her brow. Her eyes catch the light and hold it, colorless and fixed on something that isn't you. Her hand trembles. The fabric on the table stirs as though stirred by a wind you cannot feel. A single loose thread uncoils from it, rising and falling in slow waves, alive to her breath. The smell in the air thickens. Old fabric, hot metal, something faintly sweet behind it all. You press your tongue to the roof of your mouth and taste dust. A sound starts beneath the table, a faint scraping, the shuffle of something small. You tell yourself it's a mouse, but the sound grows heavier. A drag that follows the pulse in the floor. The seamstress doesn't react. Her head stays bowed, listening. The candle dips again. The room fills with the scent of smoke or something singed. In that low light, the mannequins seem to breathe. Small movements, the swell of cloth over their hollow chests. You feel the need to step closer to the door, but your feet resist. The thread that had fallen earlier is at your ankle now, cool and dry. It brushes once, twice, as if testing you. When you pull back, it follows. You force yourself to speak, but the words fall into the air and vanish, swallowed before they reach her. The seamstress lowers her hands to her lap and sits very still. A sound follows, quiet, deliberate, a single stitch drawn tight. The kind of sound that means something has just been finished. And then the silence deepens again. The quiet is unbearable. It presses against your ears until you can hear only the low rush of your own pulse. You tell yourself the sound comes from inside you, but it seems to move around the room, bouncing off the shelves and mannequins, mapping the air. The candles flare once more, taller than before. The seamstress doesn't react. The extra light reveals how the fabric in her lap trembles, a slow shiver like muscle under skin. Her fingers rest on it as though she's soothing something. You take a single step backward. The floor answers with a soft pop and the hum beneath it falters, as if the house has noticed your intent. The mannequins lean together slightly, their shadows overlapping into a single dark mass that sways on the wall. For a moment the air feels crowded, filled with the small noises of breathing that aren't your own. Then the candle gutters low again and everything stops. The seamstress lifts her face. Her eyes find you at last. They're grey, clouded, but aware. Something in them makes your stomach drop. An expression that might be welcome, or warning, or both. She opens her hands. The fabric slides from her lap and lands on the floor without a sound. You expect it to lie still, but it ripples once, as if breathing in. The motion draws the stray thread at your ankle tighter. Instinct wins over curiosity. You lunge toward the door. The thread gives, thin as hair, and the candle extinguishes itself with a sigh. Darkness falls over you. The smell of wax and dust blooms. Behind you, the faint rhythm begins again. Through, pull, not tighten, soft as a heartbeat heard through another body. When you find the doorknob, it's colder than it should be, slick with something that isn't oil. You pull, and the bell above the frame gives a single dull chime, as if muffled by fabric. Outside, the street has changed. The houses lean closer, their windows unlit. The air is damp and smells faintly of iron. You can still hear the whisper of the needle behind you, steady as rain on glass. You don't look back. The next morning dawns thin and colourless. The town street lie empty, puddles of last night's rain shining like unblinking eyes. The shop stands where you left it. Windows opaque with condensation, the sign above the door, half rotted but still legible. Mirelle Seamstress. You don't mean to return, but something in you insists on seeing the door again. At the threshold, something waits, a parcel wrapped in cloth the color of morning frost. No name, no mark. The strings that bind it is so fine, it looks painted on. Beneath the wrapping, the shape is uncertain, soft at the edges, almost shifting when you look directly at it. You crouch. The fabric of the parcel is cool, and when your fingers brush it, you feel a faint pulse, like a heartbeat far beneath the surface. The door opens before you can move. The seamstress stands there, posture unchanged, though the candle inside has burned down to a stump. Her eyes, grey and clouded, flare with recognition. Without a word, she lifts the parcel. The way she held it makes you think of someone receiving a gift or an instruction. She turns, disappears into the gloom, and the door shuts with a sigh. You stay a long time, listening to the wood settle, to the faint vibration behind the wall. When at last you leave, the streets seem smaller than before. By evening, from your own window, her light glows faintly through the fog. Something crosses the glass. Her shadow, or the outline of what she has unwrapped. The faintest shimmer clings to her hands, and for a heartbeat you think you see them sink into the fabric. The parcel's wrapping lies in the corner of the room, empty and still. You start seeing her light every now and then, always the same hour. You start seeing her light every night now, always the same hour. Through your window, the workshop looks almost peaceful. The flames no longer flickers. It breathes. Curiosity becomes need. You walk through the fog that tastes of iron until you reach her door. The lantern burns within. The air smells less of wax now, more of something raw, like rain on metal. The seamstress sits at her table, the new cloth before her, black as soot, shimmering faintly. Her hands move without pause, silver thread flashing, the fabric clinging to her finger. Beneath her chair sits a bowl half full of dark liquid. Threads float on its surface, twisting together. She sews slower now, each stitch deliberate. The room's light dims with every pass of her needle until only the thread itself gleams, winding through the dark like a living thing. You back away. The door closes itself, sealing the rhythm inside. On the street, the smell of metal lingers on your skin. When you look down, a single strand of that impossible thread loops around your finger, shining faintly in the fog. You pull, but it doesn't come free. You walk until the town disappears behind you. Every step drags the thread tighter against your finger. Sleep never comes. The sound of the needle has learned your heartbeat. At dawn, the thread is gone. The groove remains. Later, you find a scrap of black cloth nailed to your own door, warm to the touch, faintly pulsing. You pocket it. That night, the wind carries a vibration through the town, a low note that makes every window quiver. The light above her shop blooms white, sharp, unsteady. You reach for the scrap in your pocket. It's warm now, moving. The rhythm begins again in your head. Through, pull, not tighten. She is not sewing for the night. She is sewing with it. And you are caught in her pattern. Through, pull, not tighten. You keep the scrap hidden in a drawer. It changes shape each time you look at it. A spiral, a knot, a crude outline of a hand. By the third night, you stop sleeping. The silence of the town is wrong. Even the dogs no longer bark. When you open the door, the scrap is gone. In its place lies a single silver needle. Point darkened, thread already looped through its eye. The thread trails across the floor, under the door, and into the fog. You follow it. At her shop, the thread disappears beneath the threshold. Inside, the air is colder. The seamstress sits amid a circle of trembling fabric. The cloth she works on covers the table, moving as though something breathes beneath. You step closer. The floor hums. The thread at your feet pulls you forward. She lifts her head. Her eyes are no longer grey, but bright silver. The fabric glows faintly in rhythm with your pulse. The sound of the needle begins again, somewhere below the floor. And you realize the rhythm has been waiting for you. You wake with the rhythm already inside your chest. It isn't a sound anymore, but a pressure. Small and steady, as though a pulse other than yours has learned to beat beneath your ribs. The morning light feels wrong, filtered through air thick enough to touch. Every surface in your room carries a faint shimmer. Threads of reflected light stretched across the walls like spider silk. When you brush them away, they cling, impossible to remove. You leave the house. The streets are deserted. The air has a taste like metal rubbed between teeth. As you walk, you hear something beneath the usual noises, a constant slow drag as if the town itself is breathing in sleep. You pass the butcher's shop, the tailor's old store, the church with its doors chained shut, all of them sealed, silent. But the seamstress's shop, hers alone, glows faintly through the fog, an amber pulse that syncs with your heartbeat. The door isn't locked. Inside, the smell hits first. Wax, damp cloth, and something else you can't name. The floorboards are sticky underfoot. The lantern on her table burns low, casting more shadow than light. The mannequins have multiplied. Where there were 6, there are 12 now. Crowding the walls, each wears a garment at a different stage of completion. Sleeves attached to nothing. Bodices stretched, hems pinned into impossible shapes. Their surfaces look wrong. Not smooth, not wood. A texture that absorbs the light instead of reflecting it. The seamstress is there, bent over the table, her shoulders hunched high, her arms move in small, sharp motions. The needle flashing so quickly that it blurs. You can't see what she's working on. You step closer. The floor hums louder. The mannequins lean slightly forward. The cloth on the table twitches. The motion is subtle, but it draws your eyes and holds them. It ripples like a muscle under skin. You think of breathing again, of something learning to inhale. Her hands don't stop. She's not sewing onto the fabric anymore. She's sewing into it. Each stitch sinks deep and comes out somewhere unexpected, as though the cloth has more than two dimensions. The air shivers with every pull of the thread. Your own skin prickles in answer. The rhythm sinks with your pulse, then overtakes it. The seamstress lifts the needle once more, and in the fraction of a second that it hangs above the fabric, the cloth convulses. The movement is silent but immense, a single contraction that seems to pour the whole room with it. When the needle pierces again, the mannequins take a single synchronized breath. You breathe. The mannequins are motionless again, but the silence that follows feels crowded, full of the residue of that single breath. The seamstress's hand trembles once, then she begins a new pattern, slower, more deliberate. Each movement draws a faint vibration from the floor, like the plucked string of a buried instrument. The lantern light bends toward her table. The shadows of the mannequins stretch long, then shorter again, in time with her stitching. You see the outlines of their fingers flex once, as though testing the shape they have been given. A low sound hums through the wood. The tone is neither human nor mechanical. Is the sound of something discovering it has lungs. You back toward the door. The air thickens, elastic, resistant to movement. Threads hang in the air like cobwebs, but when you brush against them, they cling with surprising weight. Each one quivers in rhythm with the seamstress's work. She lifts her head slightly. Her lips move again, forming shapes without voice. Whatever she says, the fabric obeys. The material on the table shivers, folds inward, then stretches toward the mannequins. The distance between them seems to shrink, though neither has moved. The smell of wax and metal deepens. A warmth spreads under your feet, the floor alive with vibration. The threads overhead tighten until they hum. You want to speak, but the words dissolve before they reach your tongue. The only language here is the sound of the needle through. Pull, not tighten. The cloth moves again. Slow, steady, deliberate. The mannequins sway in unison. Their forms outlined in the faint glow leaking from beneath the seamstress's hands. The air around them pulses, distorting. A trick of heat or of breath. Something inside you understands that the stitch she makes next will complete a pattern you are already part of. You turn for the door. The thread catches at your sleeve. You tear free and stumble out into the night, the fog swallowing you whole. Behind you, the hum follows, quiet, steady, patient, like the memory of a heartbeat that refuses to stop. You don't know how long you run. The fog erases distance, replaces it with the sound of your breath and that steady hum threading itself through every step. When you finally stop, you're nowhere. The streets have folded into one another, every turn brings you back to the same corner. The same flicker of amber light far away. Your sleeve still clings to the scrap of thread that caught you in the shop. It seems thicker now, woven of more than fiber. When you touch it, the rhythm returns, soft, measured, as if counting you. The fog shifts, something large moves behind it, too slow to be a person, too precise to be wind. You hold still. The shape stops when you stop. The hum in the air grows warmer, pressing against your back, guiding rather than pushing. You realize it isn't following you. It's leading you back. You fight the pull for as long as you can, but the world keeps rearranging, streets tilting, houses leaning closer until the shop's door stands in front of you again. The lantern within glows low, pulsing like a heartbeat behind thin skin. You tell yourself you won't enter. You do, anyway. The air inside has changed. The heat is gone, replaced by a damp chill that smells faintly of stone and water. The mannequins stand in a ring around the table now, their unfinished garments swaying slightly as if stirred by invisible breath. The seamstress isn't at her chair. The needle rests on the table, upright, impossible, point buried in the fabric. Around it, the cloth rises and falls in slow waves. You step closer. The lantern light deepens. Beneath the falls, something gleams. Metal, wet, light movement. The threads run outward from the cloth to the mannequins, to the ceiling, to the walls, turning the room into a web that hums with quiet precision. You feel the vibration climb your legs, reach your chest, settle behind your eyes. The rhythm aligns with you again. Through, pull, knot, tighten. A whisper moves through those threads, a collective sigh that isn't sound, but pressure. The mannequins sway closer together. Their surfaces are changing, softening, the texture giving way to something pliant. You take another step back, and the web tightens, the threads thrumming in the lantern light. The needle in the fabric shifts slightly, as if finishing a motion it began before you entered. The floor breathes once beneath you. Then the sound stops. For the first time since you entered her world, there is no rhythm, only the silence of a breath held too long. You wait for the release that never comes. The quiet is unbearable. It has shape and weight, as though the room has turned solid around you. Then, beneath it, a faint rustle, fabric shifting over wood. You look toward the mannequin. One of them is gone. You scan the ring again. 11 stand where 12 should be. The missing one leaves behind only a hollow circle of dust. On the floorboards, and a few threads swaying like pendulums in the air. A breath moves behind you. You turn slowly. Nothing stands there. Only the path to the door, narrow and dim. The seamstress's chair creaks. It rocks forward once, empty. From the ceiling a thread descends, black and wet, with reflected light. It swings gently until it touches the back of your hand. The contact is soft, very soft. A pulse travels along the thread, a slow, measured beat that synchronizes with your own. You step backward. It follows, stretching, refusing to break. The needle on the table quivers. The fabric around it heaves once, twice, like a chest learning how to breathe. Then it lies still again. You edge toward the door. Your fingertips brush the latch. Cold, reassuringly ordinary. When you pull, it holds fast. The wood beneath your palm feels warm, as if someone on the other side is keeping their hand there too. The lantern flickers, the room expands and contracts in the light. The mannequins begin to sway again, a slow pendulum motion that creaks the floorboards, their garments whisper against their hollow frames. The fabric on the table shifts a final time. The needle slides free and lands with a sound that isn't metallic at all. It's soft, like a drop of water striking flesh. Something in the darkness exhales. The door releases. You stumble out onto the street, into air that tastes of rain and smoke. Behind you, the shop breathes one more time. The lantern light inside falls inward, vanishing until only the faint shimmer of thread remains. Suspended in the window like veins of frost. The rhythm does not follow you, but it has left its pattern behind. When you look down, faint silver lines trace across your palms, curling into loops and knots. They glimmer once in the fog, then fade beneath your skin. The night is silent. Once again. The last stitch tightens and the night exhales. You've been listening to The Silver Seamstress, a tale spun from moonlight, wax, and whispers. A story where every thread remembers the hand that pulled it. If you want to wander deeper into my world of dark fiction, you can find more stories, early releases, and behind the veil notes on my Patreon. There you can support the show, unlock exclusive horrors, and even have your name woven into the next tale. Visit www.patreon.com/SFGT for transcripts, links, information, and episodes galore. After all, I have over 900 episodes to listen to. Or you can just search Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or any platform where the night still hums through your headphones. Now, before the lantern fades completely, I'd like to open the door to the workshop once more, to the Patreons, whose names are stitched into tonight's fabric. Our room falls quiet, the candle burns lower, and the thank yous begin to breathe. My special thank you to my amazing friend and supporter, my Ode Night Tea Titan, Matto Star.
Matto Star!
when the seamstress's candle sank low and the wax drowned in its own flame. It was Matto Star who gave the night its warmth again. The scent of ode and tea drifted through the shop, a promise that darkness could still be kind. The mannequins stilled, the threads paused, and even the needle waited for that calm, steady breath that only Matto, the Titan, could bring. Your laughter rekindled the light, your patience steadied the hand that stitched the world back together. Every seam still carries the faint perfume of your fire, mate. Now, when the town exhales, the air bears your mark. Smoke, spice, and silence woven in balance. You are not simply remembered in the cloth. You are the thread that keeps it from unraveling. And just so for this podcast. Thank you so much, Matto. You are a superstar. I've got your email. I can't wait to sink my teeth into it properly and send through my response. Thank you for your support, your friendship, and being awesome. Have a brilliant week ahead. And now to my White Tea Warlords.
White Tea Warlords!
First up is Lezasaurus Rex. In the gym of creation, you are the clang of destiny's dumbbells. You could probably deadlift a cursed wardrobe and still have time to critique its tailoring. The seamstress stitched your heartbeat into the hems of her strongest garments. So when the mannequins need to flex, they do it with form. You, sir, are my barbell of balance, the personal trainer of my perseverance, and proof that even horror stories need core strength. Have an epic week ahead, Leza, and thank you so much for your friendship and support. Stay awesome. My next White Tea Warlord, Maya, the Queen of Cats. Your kingdom begins wherever a sunbeam lands. The cats of a town follow you like soft, judgmental shadows, each one your furry envoy, each purr a royal decree. You command legions of whiskered soldiers armed with indifference and impeccable grooming. Even the seamstress couldn't sew anything as aloof and elegant as one of your feline subjects. May your tea stay hot, your claws stay sharp, and your litter box forever self-cleaning. Have a wonderful and epic week ahead, Maya. Stay brilliant, mate, and thank you. And my next White Tea Warlord, Sangeetha the Seer. While the rest of us are busy unpicking yesterday's knots, you are already reading next week's patterns. You saw this outro before I even wrote it, and honestly, thank you for not spoiling the twist. The seamstress consults your visions before every stitch. Her loom hums to your intuition. You are the oracle of aesthetics and chaos, the fortune teller with better lighting, and proof that destiny occasionally wears eyeliner. Have a brilliant week ahead, Sangeetha, and stay awesome as well. Thank you so much. So raise your cups to our amazing Ode Night Tea Titan Matto Star and my White Tea Warlords. May your kettles never whistle alone, and may every sip fortify the strange empire that we're building, one haunted hemline at a time. And now, I want to thank my Earl Grey Enforcers and all tiers thereafter for your support. I am lucky to have Chad Warren, Peter Raffaele, Just Heather, Juicebox Andy, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Seductive Smiles, Jane Gumnick, and Michael Krupp. You are all superstars. Thank you so much. And stay tuned for the next episode for this two or even three-parter story. I hope you're loving this series and a fan of the ASMR component. If you have any feedback, leave them in the comments below. Whether it's on YouTube or Patreon, you do your thing. And have a wonderful, brilliant week ahead, everyone. And see you next weekend. All the love. Till next we meet.
The street forgot its name to nightfall. Curled soft around the flame, needle hums a hardened wire. Every stitch recalls the pain. Mannequins sway in breathless rows. threads like veins beneath the floor. Wax and whispers, candle ghosts, you step through. She's making.
Oh.